Okay, Janice, ready when you are.
Ready? Okay.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to go ahead and call the meeting to order. Before we get started, if I could remind everybody to please either turn their cell phones off or down so that we're not disrupting the meeting. Thank you. So if we could have a roll call, please.
Commissioner Madigan?
Here.
Commissioner Geary?
Here.
Commissioner Anderson?
Here.
Commissioner Blackburn?
Here.
Commissioner Taggart?
Here.
Supervisor Perez?
Not here. All righty. Let's see here. Next item is the approval of the summary proceedings for the November 18th, 2015 regular meeting. Do I have a motion to approve or corrections? Okay. So.
I just got it yesterday afternoon. I honestly have a problem.
Okay.
So I'm not disadvantaged.
Okay.
A second.
Who moved?
Oh, I can't. I wasn't here.
Okay.
Make a motion to approve.
Okay, I need a second.
Whoever else is
any discussion? Changes? Corrections?
I have some questions, but it doesn't change anything. Yeah. Are these on?
No.
I was trying to. Looks like it's lit up. It was lit up. There we go. You're up. Are we on now? It should be.
All right, so we have a motion and a second. All in favor? Any opposed? All right, go ahead and approve those then. All right.
You should be good.
All right.
I'll see you.
Okay,
right.
Next item is the consent agenda. We have nothing. Item D, public presentations. This portion of the meeting is reserved for persons to address the commission on any matter not on this agenda, but under the jurisdiction of the commission. Commissioners may respond briefly to statements made or questions posed. They may ask a question for clarification, make a referral to staff for factual information, or request staff to report back to the commission at a later meeting. Also, the commission may act to direct the staff to place a matter of business on a future agenda. Please state your name and address for the record for making your presentation. Speakers are limited to 2 minutes, and if we could ask you to please come up to the podium. So we will start at the beginning. First table, Joan. You're good, Lynn? Terry?
I'm good.
Nothing? Next table? You guys have anything? Judy? Third table. Anything? Over there? Nothing? Okay, next table. Anybody there? Public presentations? Okay, and then the peanut gallery way in the back. Sue?
Yeah.
All right.
Just because.
Sue Bennett, Kern Humane Society. Liz and I just came from the city council meeting where we tried very strongly to convince them to renew the $40 discount coupons that they've been giving. As of mid-December, they stopped writing those vouchers. So looks like Kern Humane stuck again being the only guy in town. We had a year-end, we don't call it an awards banquet, we call it our volunteer meeting on the last day of the year. And I was quite happy to be able to present to 10 different volunteers, 1,000-hour pins. The first time we've ever done that.
Wow.
But we have people who work really, really hard for our organization, and it is 100% volunteer. We are writing, we have been, up until now, redeeming about an average of 250 vouchers a month. I anticipate seeing that go way, way down. I'm sorry to say, but we'll see what happens.
Thank you, Sue.
Uh-huh.
You guys do good work. I appreciate it. Okay, see, we have some new people that came in. We're on public presentations right now. Is there anybody that's come in that would like to speak?
Yeah, we're waiting on one more person.
Pardon me?
We're waiting on one more person.
Okay, well.
Liz?
Liz? Sure.
Liz Keel.
It's on.
You got it.
Just talk.
You got it?
Yeah.
Liz Keel, proud resident of the 5th Supervisorial District. One of the things that happened, I asked that the matter of the vouchers funding from the city be referred specifically to the Budget and Finance Committee, which is headed by Councilman Rivera. Not just to see if we can get some blood out of the stone this year, but to ensure that they know that unless they continue this funding in the next fiscal year, you know, it's all over. Councilman Rivera announced that the Budget and Finance Committee is meeting this coming Monday, January 25th, at noon, which is when they usually meet, at City Hall North, which is the big old Barton, Petrini, whatever law firm, and he invited anyone and everyone who wants to talk about the lack of vouchers on the part of the city now to come. So that's what I wanted to add to what Sue said. If anyone is able to come to that committee meeting, it is crucial to impose on these people the need for them to fund. They're claiming they're broke. I don't believe that for a minute, but never mind. But that $10,000 is a drop in the bucket compared to some of the other expenditures they look at. And that $10,000 means $1 million to the people who receive vouchers. You can ask Judy, you can ask Sue, you can ask Vicki and Larry, who accept so many. It is the difference between getting a dog or a cat fixed and not. It may not sound like much to you, but to the people who get them, it is the world. So anybody who can come down on Monday, January 25th, City Hall North, at noon, please show up. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Liz. All right. Next victim. Please come up to the podium.
My name is Katie Aguilar, and I live on the outskirts of Bakersfield. And I can tell you, on a daily occurrence, I can't drive from my driveway down Wing Patch High without seeing numerous dogs running loose and/or getting killed and ran over by mobile vehicles. And this has been a problem I've seen for many years. I myself and my mother have taken in over 30 dogs plus in the last 15 years, and I got them spayed and neutered and found them good homes. And I think we need an ordinance in effect to stop the backyard breeders and help with the solution of getting all dogs spayed and neutered unless you're a licensed breeder and you have all the proper licensing as far as a breeder's license and the proper permit to be a breeder.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Anybody else?
Stacey Enns, I'm in 93306, and I agree with Katie. We need to let the professional breeders do the dog puppy thing. I'm seeing way too many puppies for sale on Facebook, Craigslist, Bakersfield listed 22 litters of puppies on January 4th, just one day. I can't stand looking through it every day, so that was just one day that I looked. But I'm seeing it all over the place, and I know we're making so many improvements, I just feel that we can't expect the Northwest to be taking all of our unwanted dogs. Maybe we could do a little bit more to... What else can we do to stop the puppies? That's the only way we're going to diminish the problem, is to stop the flow of puppies.
Right. Thank you.
Stacy, thank you. Can you spell your last name for me?
I'm sorry. E-N-N-S. Thank you.
What was the name of the previous young lady that's called?
Katie Aguilar.
Katie, thank you.
Anybody else back there? All righty. Then this will conclude public presentations. Next, we are on to staff announcements and our director's monthly report.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Actually, we have technically two director's reports. I believe we have November and December. For brevity purposes, I can surmise from December the statistics. You'll all notice that the format that we use for the director's report has changed. We wanted to try to make them a little bit more presentable, maybe a little bit more easier to read. Please feel free to furnish us with some feedback, either good or bad, if you feel the need. But again, we're just trying to make them a little bit easier to read, easier to follow along, easier to understand. And we felt like it was about that time to take a look at something like that.
Excuse me, Nick. Is that adjustable, that microphone?
Sure.
Is that better?
That's wonderful.
Okay. Anything for you, Bob?
Pretty good.
So I'll go over a few of the highlights, and then I have a few things I'd like to add. The month of December saw 126 animals go to rescue partners. The month of December saw 58 new animals enter the foster program. We continued with our trap neuter release program that was started in 2013. And to date, we have, or as of December, the end of December, 3,824 cats have gone through the trap neuter release program. Again, I'll remind everybody that that is 3,824 cats that probably would not have survived if not for the DNR program and the support that it's received. We did have spay neuter goings on in the month of December. We had a mobile spay neuter clinic and vaccine clinic in Button Willow. And we had 12 total surgeries from the residents of Button Willow. That was 12 out of about 20 signups. So that was actually better than what we thought. But 12 surgeries came out of Button Willow. We also held the vaccine clinic where we sold 67 licenses, administered 66 rabies vaccinations, 51 parvo distemper vaccinations, 1 feline vaccination, and 10 free microchips in the city of Button Willow. We also had 3 Wednesday evening vaccine clinics in the month of December. That was on the 6th, the 9th, and the 16th. The Wednesday evening vaccine clinics at the shelter are becoming more and more of a good turnout. I think that if anybody knows anybody that needs a vaccination, please send them to the Wednesday night clinics. Every Wednesday between 5 and 6:30 p.m., Kern County Animal Services does offer rabies vaccinations, licensing, parvo distemper vaccines, feline vaccines, and microchips. Please, if you're a county resident, come down and take advantage of it. If you're a city resident and you want to get a parvo distemper vaccine, you're more than welcome to come to a county clinic to get that. Moving right along, in the month of December, we did continue our Home for the Holidays event, our adoption event, started in November, ended beginning of January. 454 animals were adopted through the month of December, which was part of the Home for the Holidays event. I did want to highlight that last bullet point right there. Year-to-date, 4,133 animals have been adopted through Kern County Animal Services. That is a record. We've never eclipsed 4,060 or so. So that's the most animal services has ever adopted. I thought that was fantastic. And it was a goal. We did give the staff a goal to beat the number, I think, 4,069. They beat it handily, so props to the staff. volunteers, month of December, saw 2,200 and a half total hours. That equals out to 12 about 12 and a half staff members, although I'd never seen a half a staff member. And the financial value of that, those donated hours, was over $54,000. In our field services, we're trying to make these monthly reports to include more and more about field services. I mean, our animal shelter gets a lot of attention, but we also do have almost 15 animal control officers that are out there every day spreading good information, enforcing the laws that are on the books. And it's a whole section of our department that works really hard that sometimes doesn't get much attention. But the month of December, our animal control officers were able to return 21 animals back to their homes. When we say that, those are animals that were picked up, some sort of identification was found, and they were delivered back home. So they never entered the sheltering system. And that's what we're trying to affect more of, is just the animal doesn't come to the shelter at all. I'd much rather have the officer deliver that animal back home, of course, unless it's trying to shred somebody to pieces. But outside of that, we want to make sure that the animals that we do pick up, if they do have identification, that we get them back home so that they don't come to the shelter in the first place. 97 total animals in the month of December were secured back on property. That just means that it was a call for an owner's animal that may have been loose at one point. By the time we get to the property, the animal is able to be secured back on property by the officer. So sometimes it's a discretion kind of thing. If it's not a habitual offender, the officer will simply close a gate or you know, slide a door shut, or just make sure that the animal is secured in the yard that it was found in. It's just another way of enforcing, but keeping the animal out of the shelter as well. I did also want to mention two things. There is a women's clothing store. It is called Sugar Daddy's. It is, I believe, 5401 Stockdale Highway. There's some pink flyers in the back there. Sugar Daddy's is doing a fundraiser for Kern County Animal Services. I believe 30% of all sales on the two dates on those flyers come directly towards animal services. So if anybody's in...
Do you know the dates on the top of your head?
That is... It's gracious.
24 from 6:30 to 8:30
there you go.
P.M.
What she said. they reached out to us. They're really staunch animal activists and feel that we've been doing some good things, and they wanted to see what they can do for the animals in Kern County. So it's a good reason, good effort. If anybody is in the market for some clothes, please go to that store on that day. February 17th, I believe, we have secured, the Animal Control Commission has secured Nathan Winograd to come and speak. There will be a showing of his film Redemption. If you haven't seen it, this is your opportunity. It will be in this building, downstairs, in the board chambers. It'll be from, the movie will be showed from about 5:15 until about 7:30. It's about an hour and 15 minutes. And then there will be an answer and a question and answer session, too. We're trying to spread the word so that we can have as many people show up for this presentation as we can. If, at the very least, the absolute minimum, we're bringing more attention to the idea of a no-kill environment. And Mr. Winograd is going to come and speak about what he feels is required to attain a no-kill community. So, please come on out. It is February 17th. Again, it's in the board chambers here. I believe there'll be a meet and greet from 3 to 5. Movie shows at 5:15. Question and answer session afterwards. Please come out. It's free of charge. It's a good way to show your support for the animal services and their efforts to become a no-kill. And that concludes the director report.
All right. Thank you. I thought we need most of the file.
Can we ask questions?
Yes, sure.
Okay.
I don't know if my math skills have gone awry or if I'm not reading this correctly, but the second page of statistics says county living urban capacity 465. And a similar number.
Oh, yeah, November or December?
And then December, okay. A similar one out of the old format shows intakes of
1,518. So I'm a little confused. This, because this says January through December, and it only says 465 intakes. Am I reading this wrong, or is there a math error somewhere?
You're talking about the pages as county, including Arvin and Tehachapi City?
Correct.
And you're talking about the 2014 571 and the 2015 465?
Yeah. Because the only difference I understand from that in the previous page is city.
Yeah, those numbers can't be right.
Or is that just the numbers for Arvin?
It might be Arvin, or is it just 1 month?
No, if any, no, that's not going to be 1 month. I wish it was. More than likely, it's going to be Arvin and Tehachapi City
only.
Instead, yeah.
Okay.
But that's something that we'll have to.
Yeah.
Because on the previous month of a similar format, it has a higher number.
Right.
I have it here.
They're similar statistics for back in November as well. 468 for 2014 compared to 432 for 2015.
Okay, so it is just.
It may very well be just Arvin and Tehachapi City combined. Okay. It's not really a statistic that I like to highlight. I don't think it has any much significance, but we'll look into it.
Because our previous maps had the city somewhere, and I don't see
right.
City in here anywhere.
The
county takes in city animals.
She's talking about the county intakes that are originated in the city, which are usually mostly
pretty
adoption
low, returns. But that's why I thought, well, maybe that's city. It looks a little weird.
It could be. We'll have to take a look at it.
Okay. And then another question or comment I wanted to make about the field services.
Mm-hmm.
Since I've been playing hooky for a while here, I had to read a lot of old stuff to get caught up. And I noticed that the numbers of animals returned to owners in the field and the number of dogs secured on the property has greatly increased from November. So that's a kudos to you guys. I never mentioned that. And then the other thing I wanted to ask you was the concern that was mentioned about the number of strays on Weed Catch Highway. In my previous profession, I spent a lot of time on Weed Catch Highway, too.
In my current profession, I spent a lot of time.
Yeah. can you give us any insight?
You know, look, I think we all know in this room that the solution is the more animals we can get altered, the less strays we're going to be on the streets. I think that there is a gap between the time that our efforts start paying off as far as total amounts of animals we see on the street and what we do now. But right now we're doing as many sweeps as we can with staff, and our field staffing has been decimated by injury and attrition. So we're trying to get our staffing numbers back up to normal, but right now our field staff is such that we can't afford to have officers go out and do sweep of areas. Lamont and the Weed Patch area is one of those areas where at least four or five times a year we put together sweeps, which is where we have seven or eight officers target an area for citations and impounds, and we just haven't had the staff to do that for quite some time. We do know that the Weed Patch area and the Lamont area is pretty notorious for loose animals, which is part of the reason why we're trying and working diligently and feverishly even to submit a grant for spay-neuter services strictly for Lamont to try and bring those targeted, not that it's not already an effort in a targeted area, but even more so through a Petco grant for spay-neuter. Again, target the Lamont area just because we know that that's an issue.
Who's doing that?
We are.
Who's we?
Our business manager.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm not going to do it all by myself. I have help.
And then I have one. as I was looking through old stuff, there was something about linen tightening project.
Oh,
what is that? I'm capable of doing that, so simple. That's all it is.
I'll try to speak intelligently. I know Jeff knows a little bit more about it, but there's a group of volunteers that come in at least once a week, sometimes more. And I say that because they're right outside my office. And they get together and they cut up fabric and they sew other pieces of fabric together to make blankets for the puppies.
Oh,
and they have a great time. They bring their own sewing machine. No, not their own drinks. These are
maybe that's why they're having fun.
They bring all of their own sewing machines and equipment, and they're in there for 3 or 4 hours, and they literally create adorable little blankets made from different materials, and we use them for the small animals, the puppies.
Okay.
And you're more than welcome to come and take part. They have a lot of fun from what it sounds like.
I think that's it. Yes, that's it. I really like that you're including animal services, you're highlighting field services in here.
And there will be some more statistics that will be included in those field services.
Can you include the number of calls so people are aware of how busy they are?
Sure. Service? Yeah, we can do that.
Because they are,
you're welcome. And the only reason I have to really include calls for service is it's tough to get an impact if you don't know what kind of call volume we typically handle. But yeah, we can put that. Okay. And that's something that Amber and I have been going through, is what statistics do we want to include for field services. So that'll be fun.
Okay, and how are the tablets working in the trucks?
I thought we were going to get much more blowback from our officers, and we haven't. They love them. It makes their job just an infinite. Let me explain to everybody who doesn't know. Our animal control officers are now equipped with computers in their vehicles. What does that mean? It just means that we're now in the 21st century, and our officers, if they pull up to a residence, they have a computer in their vehicle that they can check licensing already, they can check prior history, they can check to see if it's a dangerous dog at an address. So it helps them do their job. But just to illustrate and give you some impactful information, one success story, and I know that Ms. Haney can probably appreciate this, we had an officer who was on call, on standby. It was about 9 or 10 o'clock at night, and she received a call from a person in Tehachapi that had found a dog. Normally at 9 or 10 o'clock at night, we have to tell them to call in the morning, but we had access to that information. We researched the microchip and the tag number, found the owner, and the dog made its way home that night. And if we hadn't had that ability, that dog may have had to wait till the next day, and who knows what would have happened. So it's just that's a small example of how important that information at the officer's fingertips can be. And they, like I said, they all appreciate it, which is surprising.
Glad to hear it. That's all.
Okay, thanks. Before I get into my comments on the report, I want to do let everyone know that doesn't know that Director Coleman made an excellent presentation to the board of supervisors on December the 15th. With the help of the staff, it was a beautiful PowerPoint presentation on how to go no-kill, and given us 5 years, at most, we hope we do it sooner, but it was an excellent, compelling, how can you say no to this kind of a presentation. So I wanted to let everybody know, if you haven't seen it, you can still go online and watch it. It's about 45 minutes, and he went through the 11-piece puzzle step of the no-kill model. Took about 45 minutes, step by step, very methodical, very easy to understand, and the supervisors loved it. They loved it. They couldn't say no. So I wanted to commend you again in front of this group that it was an excellent presentation, and I want to thank you for that.
Thank you.
That was the 15th. The 15th.
You know, Commissioner Blackburn, if I can, just to touch on that, just so that everybody's aware, animal services, we've come out publicly several times actually now look, if you're an animal welfare organization, you're not in the business of adopting out as many animals as you can. I don't know why you'd be in the business in the first place, but it's a goal of ours, is to end euthanasia of adoptable animals. But, there's not one size fits all. There's different ways to attack a problem, and there's different solutions for problems, and no solution is the end all be all right. There's going to be a different solution for each county and each community you come to. And you don't know what those solutions are until you get down and dirty and start trying to make things happen. And you adjust. And if we try what we're doing right now, try to achieve zero or very slim, very little euthanasia, and we succeed, great. And if we don't, then we go back to the drawing board and try something new. But there's no wrong way to go about reducing euthanasia and reducing the amount of animals on the streets. There's different ways to go about it. And there's enough information to support just about any direction you would choose to go. And, you know, we've chosen sort of the prevailing wisdom. Some people don't like that term, but we've thought about it, that the programs that we have already in effect, the programs that we need to supplement the programs with in order to make this happen. But, you know, Nathan Winograd and his no-kill movement is not the only name in the game. There's different routes to go about it. And we're even speaking to other organizations who have had success in the area. So, you know, we're open to achieving no-kill, and, you know, any way that we can do that, we're going to listen, and we're going to adapt, and we're going to change, and whatever needs to be done is what we're going to do to make that happen. So I just wanted to say that.
Anyway, it was a great presentation. Thank you. On this new format, you know, I just got this yesterday, so I really haven't had a chance to crunch these figures at all. But, and if you would please number the pages. So when I say it's on page 7, everybody can turn to that page, because it's like,
I can't believe they are numbered.
They're not numbered.
No. The statistics page are not numbered.
But if you can turn to the page that says kennel outcomes comparison, then it's like the third page in the back.
This for December?
I'm sorry.
For December?
For December, yes. Now, when it says at the top left, says all jurisdictions, what does that really mean? What jurisdictions are we talking about?
It means all county jurisdictions.
All county?
Yes.
You're talking about Wasco, Shafter, Richmond?
All unincorporated areas of Kern County.
I didn't know we ever did that. I didn't know it was Wasco and Shafter, too.
There's unincorporated areas of Wasco and Shafter.
Yeah, okay. Because the way it was always labeled in the past, well, it just says all unincorporated areas of Kern County, City of Bakersfield, City of Barton. And that's still what you mean over here?
Yeah. Correct.
Because that, because on page 2 then it says attached to city. And that's kind of new. I don't.
That's the one I was asking about.
That's the one you were asking about.
And that's probably a new statistic that really didn't mean to put in there.
Anyway. It could
be. Okay, all right.
Well, Tehachapi is an incorporated city who contracts with the county to provide animal services.
I was curious about what all jurisdictions have. That's the same as what I've been before.
Correct.
What you don't have is, unless I'm not, just like I said, I haven't really had a chance to dissect this, but you don't really have the monthly totals on here, right?
Yeah. We have year-to-date.
You just only have year-to-date. You don't have, like, November. You don't have December. You didn't really break it down by month like I'm used to seeing.
Right? We went with year to date, and if that is lacking, we could sure change it.
I would like to see it broke. I mean, since we've had a history of doing this by month, and for me to compare month to month and year over year, it would be nice to be able to have it there if there's an easy way to do it. Because that's been the tradition here is, you know, on this other format is, okay, it's, you've got every month here broken down, plus you've got your date. It just makes it easier for me when I'm doing my comparisons to do it. I'll get used to the format, I'm sure, but it's, you know, it's different. You know, one's horizontal, one's vertical. So it's a matter of just kind of getting used to it. But if you can break it down by month, that would, rather than trying to go back to last month's and get that total, get this month's total, subtract the two numbers. Oh, this is what we did during the month of December.
So you want year-to-date and month-to-month? Or just
well, that's what I'm used to seeing. That's what I'm used to seeing. And yeah, it would be easier for me and probably easier for everybody if we could just stay on the same track unless there's some compelling reason why we don't do it. But I like the monthly totals myself.
I also want to see the little tiny bit we get out of city, too. So that when I go yell at city, I have
something to yell at. The year to date was simply my decision. Just to throw an explanation. I thought that
you get to make decisions.
I guess month to month comparison to me didn't mean as much as year to date, but we can certainly include that.
I don't know. When you're on the, you know, if you want to change the format on the first month of the new year, maybe that's one thing, but I'm trying to tie October to November, and I'm having trouble piecing it together in a seamless way. So the monthly totals for me is easier when I can compare it easier and get the percentage that I'm used to doing. But I wasn't able to do it this month because of getting this yesterday and in a new, by the way, some new format. So I don't know. I don't really know how we're doing. I'll have to get back to you next month on my number crunching. But I think it's great that you're being innovative and trying to make it easier, more user-friendly. I like all that. You know, but, It was a little unfriendly to me today when I was trying to figure it out. So, okay, that was
I like
it.
The little arrows that go up and down for those of us who can't read.
Okay, thank you, Chair.
I just wanted to say it's nice to see that the adoptions are up and to see that you guys made it past your record you were trying to get. Great job.
Good job.
I think we ended up the year very well.
Agreed.
And I like the new format. Okay. So we have a motion for CU5?
I'll make the motion.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Any opposed? All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. All right. So let's put that one together.
I would like to invite our volunteer coordinator, Jeff, up for a few words.
Good evening, Commissioners.
Good evening.
Prior to giving you my end of the year report for 2015, excuse my just getting over a cold. November, we had another volunteer achieve $500. And so I'd like to call up Deborah Waits. Deborah's been with us since March of 2014. And when most volunteers, on average, are in the shelter about 2 to 3 hours, it takes a while to gather the 500 hours. But Debbie's been with us. She is actually a volunteer ambassador. It's a program we started last January. And what this does basically is it takes some of the training out of my hands and puts it into them. And they, because they're first hands with the cats and the puppies, Deborah's one of those. And she actually helps with training new volunteers and the cats. And she's also one of our dog walkers. And so she gets to walk a lot of our dogs out to our beautiful play yard. And so what I'd like to do is first present her with this plaque. It's, again, just like the last one we had, in which it says 500 hours achieved in 2015 to Deborah Waits. In November, we also presented her with the gift from the Friends Foundation of a $100 gift card. And we thank Friends Foundation for that. And also, I'd like to call up Nicole Villarus from Supervisor Perez's office.
Don't go anywhere different.
Good evening, everyone, and Happy New Year to the Commission. Supervisor Perez unfortunately couldn't be here today. She is being recognized in Sacramento by a Latino Journal publication for being Supervisor Press. So I'm her chief of staff, and I'm so excited to present this certificate on her behalf to Debbie Waits for her hard work as a volunteer. I think what's cool about volunteer hours, you know, we saw the cool pie charts in Nick's new report, which I think is great. It gives us a real picture of what the volunteers do. But in addition to that, I think the volunteers at the animal services, they equate the number of what it would be like if they were employees. But our volunteers are actually choosing to be there with the animals and actually choosing to be there at the shelter. And I think sometimes it's very therapeutic for both the animals and sometimes for the volunteers. So I want to thank you personally for your 500 hours. That's amazing. And just, again, on behalf of the county, we appreciate all of the volunteers, especially those with the animal services, because our animals need us too. So thank you so much.
You ain't got nothing to say, Deborah. You ain't got nothing to say to anybody.
Sure. I love my job there. And I don't know whether the dogs make me happier or I make them happier. It's a win-win situation, so there's no loss anywhere. I love the county employees I work with and my fellow volunteers, and I'll probably be there for a long time because I'm known for being somewhere a long time. So it's very rewarding. I love it.
Thank you.
Well, the end of the year report. What a year. There's two different areas that I focus on and I report to you or report to Director Cullen. And number one is our core volunteers. That's our green shirts, like Deborah. In 2015, we had 158 volunteers go through orientation, and we had 109 volunteers complete it and continue on with us. That's a 72% retention rate. We also have 28 volunteers still with us from 2014. In 2015, our total number of hours recorded were 11,156. That equates to a value savings of $276,111. The other programs like Welfare to Work, Work Release, MEOF, One Day Volunteers, and the ROC program, between all of those programs, we collected another 10,256 hours. That gave us a total of 21,412 hours for the year of 2015 and a value of $529,947. That gave us about a 46% increase in our core volunteer hours and a 17% increase in our active volunteers. Some of the key highlights from 2015, we hosted the Sheriff's Activities League of Lamont, Taft College Transition to Independent Living Students, and we also had 20 future animal care workers from the La Petite Academy Preschool and Daycare. We also partnered this year with Kern County Mental Health and Kern County Veterans Administration. A couple of our special projects, and you heard about both of them. The first one was our Eagle Scout candidate, Jeff Aceves, who was with Troop 47. He built the shade structure over our play yard, and that was to help keep the animals and our volunteers cooler out there. And then the bed-making project, or the linen project you wanted to know a little bit more about. We have anywhere between 2 and 5 volunteers show up every Thursday about 12 o'clock. And they go into our conference center, and they take all of our comforters. And we have a lot of comforters. And they cut them up. Now, if you can kind of visually picture in your head a king-size comforter, they can cut that up into about 8 or 10 beds. And they'll soften them up a little bit, and then they sew them together. And then they put them in our linen sheds, and we give them to the puppies and cats. Gives them a nice little bed to have in their kennels. We also held 2 socialization classes in 2015. We had 17 people go through it. Approximately 485 hours of play yard time. Now, what that breaks down to is approximately 3 dogs per hour. So that gave 1,450 dogs the opportunity to be on the play yard and get about 20 minutes of exercise time, which is a heck of a lot better than being on that. One of the highlights to the other programs I wanted to just touch base on was the work release program. These are gentlemen who are basically trading their time in prison to be involved in a county organization like ours. And we had 112 people go through this program in 2015. And we had a couple of really dedicated ones that turned out just unbelievable amount of hours, not only by assignment, but because they wanted to. And that was almost 7,000 hours of their time in 2015. And that's about it for 2015.
It was a very good year for you.
Yeah, it was.
Thank you for all your hard work.
Thank you.
Just a question. What is the work release, what are they able to do?
Basically, it depends on their abilities, first and foremost. I mean, we will train them to do a lot of the cleaning and scrubbing, that kind of stuff, before they're allowed to be involved with any of the animals. Depending on how they show up and their demeanor and stuff like that, sometimes they'll get to handle horses, or they'll actually be in the kennels and be working with them, with the larger dogs. Sometimes we've actually had a couple of been to the puppy room. on occasion.
Thank you. Jack, doing a great job. As I've told you before, volunteers are the backbone of any organization, and you're sure proving that true with this, because you're doing things that everyone had the manpower to do, like the walking, the animals, never had the chance or the time, energy, money to do it. So I think it's great. I wanted to thank Debbie for 500 hours. You figure 500 hours, that's a long time. You figure a 40-hour work week, it just drags by, right? You figure 500 hours, that's a huge commitment, and we want to thank you for your service. So that's excellent. That's excellent. You know, I bragged on you at the supervisors meeting about you hitting over 2,000 hours in October. And I thought it was a number you probably wouldn't match again the rest of the year. And then, boy, was I surprised in December that you were able to beat it by another 27 hours. You hit 22 versus 2,173. So in a month that there's holidays and people taking time off and vacations and whatnot, you were able to better the month of October, which is really amazing. So I think the supervisors were impressed. I'm impressed. I think it's excellent. And you're a great addition to the group, and we appreciate everything you've done. But I just want to commend you for all the work and all your volunteers. And I see this number getting bigger as time goes on. Because you're finding new ways to be innovative with your department. So I think it's excellent. That's it. Thank you.
That I agree completely with Commissioner Blackburn. I think you guys do an awesome job. I think people like Debbie who are in there because they want to be there and because they enjoy being there is the kind of people it takes to do this kind of thing. I definitely kudos to all of you.
I just want to again congratulate you like everyone else has. Having been here in this arena for a long time. I'm getting a lot older as I do this. I saw what we did for volunteers in the past, and I see what a miraculous difference you have made. And one of the things that I have appreciated over time is that you really know volunteerism. You know, I mean, someone, I could walk in and, you know, be a head of volunteer and I'd be a boss. But you really know the ins and outs of how to create a program that gives volunteers incentives, and it's user-friendly for the volunteers so they don't have to jump through a bunch of hoops, and you make it a happy place to be. So I want to really commend you for that and mention to Nick that maybe you need a raise.
Did you pay her?
I will not.
Jeff always says he thinks he should get a cut of the amount of money he saved the county.
Yeah. I hope that the Board of Supervisors are made aware of those numbers. Director.
They have been.
Okay.
Madam Chair, Liz, do I need to come up there or can I shout?
You probably should come up here so that it's on the recording. Do you have a question for Jeff? Is that it?
No.
A comment?
Yes.
Are you dead?
I'm dead.
Okay. I think she's...
And he's bigger than me, so if he doesn't like it, he can sit on me.
He's a lot bigger than you.
That's not. One of the things Jeff didn't mention, but I noticed when I came in, that he has done every single month since he has arrived, except I think for one, he's put out a volunteer newsletter. And has stories about events in the month, you know, national celebrations. I think this one talks about penguins. When's the last time you saw a penguin in the shelter, Jeff? But never mind, it's okay.
You never know.
Every single month, he has, he invites the volunteers to submit stories about why they are volunteering and all of that. He puts that in, and then the last part is the coordinator's corner, where he will talk about, you talked about the, you know, cleaning protocols and some business stuff,
But the part I love about the coordinator's corner is he comes up with these goofy pictures of himself that if you look at them, you know, and arrange them. But the volunteers working in the shelter are very obvious. You can see them. Something like putting out a newsletter is maybe not so obvious. And Jeff has been doing that since he came. There are copies on the back table, so if you want to pick one up and see what he does, please do. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Liz. And thank you, Jeff.
Then, year to date.
So that concludes staff announcements and reports. So the next item we have is the commissioner announcements and reports.
Janice, did you make a motion?
I'm sorry. Backtrack. Foggy brain, sorry. Okay, so we need a motion to receive and file the volunteer report.
I'm
motion. Do I have a second?
Okay.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Do we have one?
Okay, so that's good to go. So now we're back on to commissioner announcements and reports. I think we'll start on the right this time. Do you have anything, Commissioner Jenger?
Just that we're still working on the, we had another meeting with the disaster planning.
Okay, well, that comes up under old business.
Oh, okay.
Anything else?
No, that was it.
Okay. Commissioner Blacker?
I have none.
Commissioner Geary, old business. Okay.
I just have a couple of, actually a question for Nick that I neglected to ask.
Use your microphone.
Oh, sorry.
I hear you.
Thank you.
Afraid of disturbing that child again. what's the situation with disease control right now? I haven't been around in a while, but I know at the end of last year we were having a lot of issues with that.
Commissioner Madigan, through the chair, the situation with disease is, I guess you could call it, there is no situation at the moment. I mean, it's no more prevalent than it ever has before. I mean, it's, you know, the animal shelter is cyclical. We take more animals in during the summer months and less animals in the winter months. And when we take less animals, there's less illness. So right now is the low point. We're not seeing much illness. We're not seeing much animals. But when we start to see an increase in intake during the warm months is when we start seeing more disease communicable illnesses. But that'll be sort of the interesting period of time to look at to see if the changes that we put into place last year will have an effect on our population.
There was a university that you were working with?
University of Wisconsin. We are working on a shelter assessment, although we will probably be shelving that until next fiscal year.
Okay. What about the air transport organization that had issues?
We have had a few transports with Wings of Rescue since May. Very small transports. I think one that took two dogs and another took 12 or so. We haven't had many transports going out. Since May, yeah.
Okay, that's good. Thank you. And then the two young ladies, Stacy and Katie, who talked a little bit about breeding and backyard breeding, I encourage you to come see the Nathan Wengred presentation. Also, I don't know if you guys are still left.
They already left.
Oh, they already left.
Yeah.
Okay.
But they
took
the file.
They took the bunch. Okay, then never mind. And then I will not be here again next month. I'm having another little surgery on the 2nd. Let me rephrase that. I'm going to try. I'm having surgery on the 2nd, so if possible, I will be here for the Winnegut presentation, but it's possible I won't, so we'll see. That's all I have.
All right, thank you. Okay, now on to old business. Number one, staff referrals, we have none. Number two, spay neuter funds update. Mike?
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
If you didn't get a copy of the report that I do, it's a lot easier to read now than the one last year. There's a lot less information on it, and I love preparing it. In fact, today I was busy with other things, and I actually forgot that this meeting was tonight, so I did it in a half hour tonight. I could have never done that with the other one, so this went really well. So if you go up there to the little top group where it says the balances, you'll notice that we're doing really well with low-income vouchers. We're well over 50% at 50% of the year. They're blowing out. They're being redeemed. And so that's working really well. We in the outlying areas, it doesn't look like we've done much, but we have... let's see. We had a clinic last weekend. We were going to do one day in Taft, but the response was so big that they made it 2 days, and we're going to have another one in Fraser Park this coming weekend. And so we're having the group from Simi Valley's coming up to these on site. They're all free, and I haven't put them in here yet because we haven't gotten the bill for them, but. We're moving forward with the outlying areas, and so this is where we are. So, any questions? Yes.
Are there any contingency plans if the low income voucher, which is showing is having 38% balance, and we're a little, any contingency for either going to the board or transferring or anything like that?
Oh, yeah. Well, this budget here that's up there is not set in stone, for one thing. Number two, we also have our original low... We still have money in our trust fund that we used for our low-income voucher. I set aside about $46,000 that we can pull out. And if I need to, I can go to the board and ask for more, because there's more like about $65,000 sitting in that trust fund right now. So we are not at this point in danger of running out of money for spay-neuter and for spay-neuter vouchers for the year. But it looks like we're likely to use a little more than the $250,000, which is why we have the trust fund.
Great.
What's the end of the fiscal
year for 2016?
June 30th.
Thank you.
Okay. Anything else? I'm going to throw this in. Most people, I tell people about retirement, I'm on the 5-year plan. And Liz will probably agree with this. A lot of government employees, when they get to 5 years before retirement, they go into cruise mode and they do as little as possible. And I just want to say that I'm so excited that I can spend the last years of my career doing something that's so meaningful. And I'm glad I can be a part of this. Thank you.
Volunteer update. Emergency prep.
Okay. And I retired from government. I wasn't in cruise mode either. Good. But it was with an animal shelter, so.
Not bad.
Okay, as far as the emergency preparedness subcommittee, we are continuing to meet once a month. We had our second meeting. We have our third this month? Next month?
Next month.
Next month. Time flies. I gave a very, very, very rough draft at the very last minute. I didn't get all together until the last minute. So between Commissioner Taggart, Nick, and Ms. Armstrong from Emergency Management, they're going to be reviewing it. We have a long ways to go. There's a lot of questions, a lot of hoops to go through. We are doing some research with other emergency management agencies on different questions, such as liability. That's just a huge issue. To have volunteers, put a volunteer group together and have them come in during a disaster and set up an animal shelter or a horse shelter. So there's a lot of things we're doing. We're trying to speed it up. What else can I tell you? Continuing once a month. Sorry. We're also trying to work on locations where large animals can go to, and once we get the possible locations, then we have to put together a memorandum of understanding with each possible location. So there's just a lot of steps in this, but I'm glad that Nick said it is something that's needed. So we'll continue to meet once a month and hopefully get something together before it's actually needed. So, Dr. Van Dam.
Just that I've actually put an email into San Diego to ask them about the liabilities in that, and I'm waiting to hear back. They're out of the office till the 25th. So.
And I also have a subcommittee that I meet with once a month with the Tehachapi that has done presentations on how to set up a large animal shelter. They're very energetic, and they're ready to go forward to communities that are looking to put together a plan. So it's working in several different directions, and we'll get there.
Thank you guys for all your hard work. Next, friends.
Lots of little pieces of paper.
Good evening. Judy Donahoe, Friends of the Kern County Animal Shelters Foundation. Couple of things. We set up the Pets for Vets GoFundMe, which promptly collected over $2,500 in about 4 days. So we stopped. So we can now have some adoptions. And at the moment, we had a total of 6 puppies, 17 dogs, and 11 cats adopted out through the Pets for Vets program. And what that is people donate any current active duty military person or veteran or their families is eligible with proper ID to go free, to go to the shelter and adopt a cat or a dog or a kitten or a puppy, whatever. And then out of this fund, we will reimburse the county when they send us a bill. So that seems to be working quite well. We're waiting for some stories and pictures to be able to post to, keep that up. So we're working on that as well. So that was cool. That worked really well. Since it seems to be the end of the year on numbers, our voucher numbers, according to Liz, who's impeccable record keeping, we last year put out a total of 672 dog vouchers with a 43% return rate, although obviously we have not got the bills, everything from the ones that were issued in November and December yet, so that percentage should go up some. 1,457 cats, 47% rate as of the end of, I think this is as of January 20, did you do this? Or the 15th?
15.
The 15th. This year, 77 dogs and 143 cats in 2 weeks. That's through the 15th of January, which projected out at 50% usage comes out to $62,000, which we don't have, so we stopped. We have no money at the moment. We are working on a fundraiser to come up with some more money. Again, we have these 2 months out there, and we got a grant the year before for $30,000 from the California, and that's what funded all of this last year. The other thing we did is we pushed all these people to the city, so that they would see that, yes, there are city residents who really do want to fix their dogs, and it's your municipality, and you people should pay for this. So that's why they're out of money. essentially, because the year before, and we stopped, remember in 2014, we did the same thing. We didn't issue vouchers for like 2 months. We went, dogs, 245, 274, and then March was 34, and then 3, and then none. And then June was 51, and that was when we got the grant and started back up again. So the first 6 months was 607. Second 6 months was 330. So that was it was a much, and the cats
ended up being 588 for the year last year, and dogs at 937. So this year, it's flipped completely as far as what people are asking for, because the city has nothing for cats. at least the county has the TNR. It's always the question, cat or dog, city or county, cat or dog. Is it a pet? Can you touch it?
Yeah.
If you're in the county and you can't touch it, you need to go see these people. And, you know, we give them all the information. And then, of course, suck Sue into it. And by the way, Kern Humane. Yeah, call. I'll give you the whole wrap. Now, that amount comes out to at 50% usage, projecting it to be somewhere in the vicinity of about $25,000 for last year. But again, we've still got a couple of months worth of bills to come in. And then, with Basic Needs Foundation, we did 353 dogs, 123 cats, and the total paid was a little over $13,000. So it's, what, $37,000, almost $38,000 for that last year. So that was cool. That's people keep calling, people keep asking. And clearly, it's out there. People really want to do this. I also push people to the Wednesday night clinics. I advertise that every week. And you need vaccinations? Doesn't matter if you're in the city. Go get these shots. And people are always really happy to hear about that. So that's pretty much it. Watch for the fundraiser.
Thank you. Okay, item 6, report to the Board of Supervisors update. In the midst of prepping our report for 2015, we lost a staff member, so Amber is going to assist with making sure we have all the correct statistics so that we'll be able to present a staff report animal control division report to the supervisors for years 2014 and 2015. So that's that. And then the last one is Nathan Lindegrad's visit. I don't know. Okay.
Too
much. We'll talk about Nathan first. As our director advised, we've secured the Board of Supervisors chambers. We've got everything set to do meet and greet. We would like to have food. Okay.
Maybe someone to step up and volunteer to.
Now, California Federation of Dog Clubs said that they would pay for the food if
we
invite somebody.
I can speak to that.
Yeah, okay, perfect.
You want me to do it now?
Yeah, come on up here.
Okay.
Hi, Terry Kahn, representing Tashka Mountain Dog Fanciers and as a director on the California Federation of Dog Clubs. And we would be totally honored if we could provide the refreshments for Nathan Lindegrad's seminar and movie viewing here. We have discussed it, and we have talked, and we'd like to do that. We were central part of getting Bill Bruce here from Cal 3 years ago, and we put that on, and that was also free of charge to the community, and we'd like to do the same here and give people something to come in for, besides watching a fantastic movie and talking to a really interesting guy, and of course all of us. Okay?
Thank you.
Right.
Thank you, Terry.
Yes.
Well, here's the thing.
How does one of the steps?
Bob? Hi, Bob.
Hi.
Could we possibly partake of your experience in helping to prepare food for that day?
Prepare?
For the Nathan Lindegrad doing a reception like we did before?
What kind of food?
Well, whatever you decide. California Federation of Dog Clubs said that they would pay for the food. We just need assistance in putting it all together, and you did such a fantastic job at Bill Bruce's meet and greet.
Yeah, I could probably do something.
Okay. If you're up to it. If not, that's fine.
No, I can help you.
Okay, perfect.
While I have the floor, you can hear me from here. I want to compliment Mr. Blackburn on using the microphone. I can hear every word you said, and I really do appreciate it. The other people, your commissioners up there,
You're not hearing us.
I've got the greatest amount of respect for you, and I'd like to hear what you have to say, and I can't. I'm sorry.
I just realized this actually goes, it's off. Oh, wait, it goes off. It's a timer.
Oh, does it go off by itself?
That's fine. We thought we were using it.
New technology.
Okay, we'll get it.
If they're, well,
we're challenged.
Well, I am too. I'm too big past prime, and my hearing is just not good anymore. And I would really like to hear a lot more of the meeting than what I'm getting. I go out of here and I say, what'd they say?
Oh.
I don't have a clue.
Understandable.
So, so I really appreciate that.
I apologize. I thought it was on.
Me too. How many people do you want food for?
What were we thinking? For how many people?
Wow. The chambers hold 200. I hope to get at least that many, but I would want some overflow too.
I would say probably around 100.
Test.
More than that.
It's on.
Well,
I'd
like to have the news know and the loop know.
Yeah, we're do you remember what we did for Bill Bruce? Was it like 100 or 150?
Do you remember, Bob?
For what?
When we did the food for Bill Bruce.
How many people
we did it for? Do you remember?
I don't remember doing any food for Bill Bruce.
Well, but you did.
I have a suggestion.
Yes.
I think, as Commissioner Blackburn had mentioned, the board chambers holds 200 people.
Okay.
You're not on either, Nick.
It is. You just have to like it.
There you go.
So I would just plan for food for 200 people.
Okay. Yeah.
Because we're going to market and promote as much as we can. And if
okay.
Well, then we need to talk to someone.
I would just shoot for
now, how will we do the setup in the rotunda? Do we have to rent tables, or do they have tables we can use?
I'm working with General Services to set up the TVs in the rotunda as well as provide the tables. So
okay.
That should be taken.
Good deal. And then you made that really great flyer.
Correct.
Okay. And then has notification gone to, like, the tourists, you know, Kern County tourists and all the various lists and things for the TV and radio stations?
Outside of our social media pages and our web page and a few other outlets, we haven't.
Okay.
Sent it to.
You want us to do that?
Please.
Okay. So we'll work on that. If you and I can do that. I'll walk you through it.
Okay. Cool. We were going to have some invitations to some dignitaries, right? Are we inviting anybody?
Well, we definitely want to send formal invitations to the Board of Supervisors.
I think that there's a few select individuals in Kern County who maybe we can invite as.
I know with Bill Bruce,
guests.
You know, we did all the, you know, the bosses, and I think we also did, we sent invitations out to all of the animal services or police, you know, head of police departments for all the areas within Kern County. So I can pull the list that I've got.
I think we should probably discuss who would we put on that list. That's
okay, cool. I'll email you.
Yes.
All right, good deal.
Have you considered bringing in press releases?
Yes.
Yeah, but you need to speak.
I was just curious if you thought about doing any press releases.
Our new public information officer, Nick Cullen.
Can you send me something for those press releases? I'll get it out there.
Jerry?
Manager, I would recommend that.
That's going to take you to the newspapers. Yeah.
Okay.
I would recommend that your board appoint one of your members to go to the Board of Supervisors meeting the week prior.
Okay.
Not the immediate Tuesday prior, but probably the week before that.
Okay.
And make an announcement during public presentations and invite everybody to attend.
What's the date for that? What's the date? All right. Let me check the calendar here.
The 8th.
What was that?
February 8th.
Is that what you guys are coming up with?
Well, that's the one before
It'll be the 9th.
The 9th. February 9th. Okay. 9th is the week before.
Tuesday.
All right. You want to do it?
I'll help.
That's a devil.
No, I'll help.
It's
only
Tuesday. I can help, too.
Okay,
no,
cool.
I'm not, you know.
All right.
I can help someone do it. I'm not saying I'm
qualified to do it completely. So, no.
Baptism
I'm
by
not,
fire,
I'm not gonna
baby.
Do it. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to help someone do it.
Okay. Would you like to do it?
Yes.
Okay. That would be great because I'm going to be driving back from Colorado.
Okay.
So I will be here. Excellent. Thank you. Okay. So, do we need to make a motion for that?
No, not really.
Okay, perfect. Tag, you're in.
We do need a motion regarding the meeting next.
Yeah, I've got that.
Okay.
I think we have one more thing to... Okay, so presentation.
Did you get paid with the extra Maggie's extra for doing the job?
No.
Cool. Thank you, guys. All right. Anything else on... Nathan, yes.
Well, you know, I did make an announcement at the December 15th meeting. I mean, we already invited everybody formally there, but I told the supervisors about it at that meeting. I think it's a good idea to do it again. Now, we've got exactly 4 weeks from today before he's here, right?
Yep.
So this is our one bite at the apple that we get to get everything right, everything dialed in. So if there's something that we need to talk about, let's talk about it, you know, quickly. But there's a lot of arrangements that maybe are beyond my experience that we need to maybe do. So we have someone that's willing to pay for the food, but who do we hire? Where do we get the food? Do we hire a caterer?
That's what Bob does. Bob's help.
Okay.
Bob's a caterer. Bob's a caterer.
Okay. He says he didn't do the food group, so I don't know.
He did.
Okay. I just want to make sure that all these steps, and there's more than two steps to get A to Z, you know, on anything that we do. So we've got to get it right tonight. And we've got to delegate it totally if we're going to do this. I want this to look really sharp. So anyway, that's all I've got. Thank you.
I think we're good. Yes, Terry.
I'll go up.
I know.
He's killing me. I know that we were kind of throwing it back and forth earlier, and even though I'm not the attorney, but I just was being on boards and so on, elected boards, about is that going to be where you guys are going to open up an actual meeting? And I think that's something you need to decide now, because if there is a quorum of you there, and if you ever have any conversation during that time when there is a quorum about how you know, the redemption ideas and so on are going to be implemented in Kern County, boom, that's a violation of the Brown Act if you have not opened a meeting. That's my understanding from the
board.
Yeah,
we're not going to do that. So
are you going to open up then? That's
yeah,
going to be another meeting? Okay, I just wanted to say, because we've talked about it, and I know it was talked about it before, but I think I need to be on record. Okay.
When it comes time for adjournment.
Okay, I'll quit being the nana.
Okay, that's it for Nathan. We appreciate everybody that's helping. And if anybody else wants to help, just contact us. last item under old business is business cards for commissioners.
I can make a comment on that.
You might guess.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
When I first came on the commission, I made my own business cards just because I wanted people to be able to contact me, and I set up a separate Gmail account specifically for that. And I think we were still under RMA, so I had the RMA address and phone number and website on it. But, you know, I don't mind banning my surgery issues. I don't mind doing that for anybody and everybody on the commission. We just got to figure out what we're going to put on them.
Well, I think there was a question of the legal aid.
That's right. Okay. I don't know what you discussed before. Okay.
Yeah, so we'll let Nathan and Terry talk about it.
Okay.
So I'll touch on it briefly, but, I mean, the answer that we and county council had received from the clerk of the board's office is it is not a normal occurrence for a member of a commission, a county commission, to be issued business cards. And Jerry, please correct me if I'm wrong, but basically it's a little out of the ordinary. What we were encouraged to do is to have the department create identification badges for the commissioners, using the department logo as opposed to a county logo. The county logo would have to get the supervisor's approval to use, but that's something that we can do from a department level, is to make the commissioners, each commissioner, an identification badge of sorts.
Oh, okay.
And Jerry, please correct me if I'm wrong on any of that.
Well, the only thing that I would correct is, according to the clerk of the board, there is no county board or planning commission, aside from the Board of Supervisors, that is allowed business cards. for both cost and security issues.
But is there something illegal about it?
You cannot use the county seal. It's a misdemeanor. If you make money off the use of the county seal, it's a felony.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to make money off of
that. You'd be surprised.
Can we make just little vague cards to give people? Because, you know,
you
that's
cannot.
What I was doing. And I used to, it was actually very helpful. I communicated with a lot of people about issues so that they wouldn't have my personal email address and stuff like that.
No. And the reason being, if you leave the Animal Control Commission, we have no way of preventing you from continuing to hand those cards out. And at that point, it would be inappropriate to do so. That's the clerk's main, one of the clerk's main objections to this. They don't have time or facilities to track people who are identifying themselves as Animal Control Commission. So I don't want to know that you printed business cards.
It was long before your time.
Yeah. Yeah.
You want to speak up?
For right
recorded?
Now. What's that?
Being recorded.
Yes. Yes. No, it is not a good idea.
I think it would be great to have badges for when we do have to go out in the community for, you know, when we have hearings over ordinances and things like that, just something that can identify us.
We can do that.
Okay, cool. All right. Okay. New business, we have none. Adjournment. The question has come up about our meeting, and so what we need to do is I need a motion to go dark for next month so that we can then have the Nathan Winograd presentation by itself. We won't conduct a meeting or anything. And so then technically our next meeting would be here Wednesday, March 16th.
I thought we talked about this and you were going to open it up and then promptly adjourn.
We discussed that and then after talking to council, it was determined that it would be better to just go dark and then reconvene our normal meetings here in March.
But if there's more than three of us at this, which I expect.
Well, we'll all be there, but as long as we're not talking about anything, right?
You cannot come to a consensus. I would strongly recommend, just for the sake of appearances, that no more than two of you group together in conversation
at
any one time.
Yeah.
Essentially, you are prevented from coming to a consensus or agreement about anything, and that includes simply agreeing that you want to go no-kill. That has to be done in public session.
Okay. So that's where we're at.
So don't talk in front of each other.
Mm-hmm.
So don't talk to each other.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
Two at a time.
Okay, so I need a motion.
Somebody?
I'll
motion.
Okay, do I have a second?
I'll second.
Okay, so all in favor of going dark in February for the purposes of the Nathan Winograd presentation and then reconvening here on Wednesday, March 16th? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Okay, so that's it for tonight, guys. We look forward to seeing you at Nathan's presentation. And here in March. Thank you.
I keep forgetting to tell you.